Morning.
Good morning.
We can ask the judge.
Okay.
What do you want to object to?
I'm missing some things and I haven't really reviewed it. I was in a dentist 5.5 hours yesterday, so when I got it,
you look a lot better. Here's the difference.
Those are permanent after 30 years. They just locked and then.
The difference is that dollar amount, and that's how it. That's the only difference in the two accountings.
Well, and then I was confused. Did we switch accounts at JP Morgan?
Yes.
Did we get any of the accountings of JP Morgan? Because I've never seen any of that.
The account
detail.
Statements.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you should have had the account statements.
You were going to send them to me.
I still would.
Okay. So I'm going to object on that ground that I need to review this and object to what I think that I'm not 100% sure. But isn't there a time limit on it?
On the first one, there was a 30 days, and that's passed.
Right. But this is the amended. So
right.
30
but
days
I'm,
from this?
I mean, technically, I'm only supposed to file the first one. Because I can't account up until the last moment. I filed the amended account just so everybody would know what was going on in the ensuing time between now and here.
Okay.
So, I mean, what I'm saying is he's probably going to discharge me today.
Okay.
But
let me object.
If you want the account statements,
right.
I thought you already had them. But now, frankly, JP Morgan is very, very difficult to deal with. I mean, they didn't even transfer the accounts to me until like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And now I've been. I had to transfer them to. I sent that to James Stamos, who's the Chicago attorney.
The policy with the missing front page. Here's a copy of the policy on blank.
Anything be normal in this case?
Anything?
It's not they're not cooperating. It's hard to find somebody to even talk to.
And there's so many different accounts.
Well, there were the JP Morgan. There were three or four. The one of the IRA, which they then had to move into a new account when it was liquidated. The other two, one was a checking account, and the other one that hasn't been touched. I couldn't touch it because. Not that I would anyway, but I didn't know. They were still sending the statements to.
You guys saw that?
Tesher's on this as of now.
I saw that.
And then Tesher was sending them on to me as of like June. And we wrote them, called them.
I'm starting to get used to what I've been going through for 2 years. These people.
Judge Coleman on the docket, returned mail, returns from Robert's Blaine.
So you're spelling his mailing stuff that the judge is getting returned?
Yeah.
The judge is mailing stuff. Yeah, the judge is mailing stuff.
On the
docket.
Twice.
Oh, they.
Orders or something?
They
moved it.
They sent us something saying they should move their office.
Yeah, a long time ago.
Wouldn't you have a forwarding?
5 or 6 months ago?
Yeah.
Attorney? Wouldn't you have a real forwarding?
I would have a forwarding.
Yeah.
He figured he'd notice the court after he got there.
And then, now, so, and then where it says Luke Holdings is unknown, is that ever?
I don't know what it's worth.
You've asked for it, though.
Yeah.
You did.
But I never got the information. But, you know, that's, I mean, that's Brian, now Brian's personal representative, so.
No, I got that.
But what Ted Schmitz-Bolina had done, they said it was NA.
Right.
I don't really understand how it could be NA, because it's.
Non-existent.
No, there's some about, there's some value there.
Right.
It hasn't been appraised.
Right.
Certainly, I think it was a minority, I believe it was a minority interest in LIC, so it would be discounted, but without an appraisal, you don't know.
And they had to buy sell.
Yeah.
I'm not holding.
All that stuff, I didn't go that far into, but I didn't get any information on it.
There's a tax return for 2010, that's.
Did you get the tax returns, by the way?
For the company.
For?
Sign. In the IRS.
And I'm pretty sure we didn't, we sent them on to you. If we did, whatever we're getting, we're sending.
You didn't get it, I don't.
Okay, from the IRS.
Yeah.
They said like 7 weeks. And I've sent everything on to Brian.
Hey, Andy, listen, I'm planning to report this morning in Palm Beach. I will be in the office after 1 o'clock. You want to hook up this afternoon at some point?
What's going on with this JP Morgan upstairs?
Yeah, and if there's any joint account,
You didn't look into any other accounts.
You just collected what they gave you.
You just looked at what they gave you?
Yeah, I collected what they gave me.
Oh my.
Right.
So this is only based off their production?
It's based off what I was told existed and was able to obtain and know that was an estate asset.
I gave you a long list of things that should be in his estate, companies that he owned interests in and all that. Shouldn't that be part of it?
A lot of what you, you know, there's a distinction between his estate and his trust.
Right.
So a lot of what you said was in his, was owned by him personally was actually owned by the trust.
Where's, do you have a trust accounting?
No. But I wouldn't have a trust. I'm not sure.
Well, that's what
well, the trust is still part of the estate, because it's
no,
not.
The trust is the trust. And in fact, it's the other way
the
around.
The estate's open.
The estate's open. The trust is the trust. The trust sits over here. If the estate can't pay its creditors, like for instance, Stansbury,
right,
then the estate asks the trust for money to pay its creditors. So it's really the trust, the way your father's estate plan was set up, is the trust should be the dominant vehicle,
but
not the estate.
Until the estate is discharged, the trust is created.
Yeah, actually, you could have the estate closed, but the trust would still be in existence.
Right, I get that part. But while the estate's open, it's part of the gross estate, the trust.
For tax purposes, yeah.
For yeah, for yeah. All, I think for all purposes.
No, not for, well, not for inventory purposes. Not
it was argued.
For like a collective share, it would be, but that's not applicable.
It was argued to me that if somebody put all their assets in their trust, and it was garbage, and it was all illegal, that the estate judge would not discharge that trust from the gross estate and say, this is bogus, you couldn't transfer your girlfriend's house into your trust under whatever tax code. Well, otherwise everybody would transfer everything to a trust and say, nothing's in my estate.
Well, no, but you're using terminology that I don't
know. All right, thank you.
This doesn't really make sense to me. The gross estate is only a term for
the trust
for the IRS.
And every, right, it is?
Yeah. At least to my knowledge. What you're saying is yeah, you're right. There's a specific statute that deals with the fact that if everybody could transfer everything to a trust and then say to their creditors, hey, by the way, I don't have any money, then that wouldn't work.
Exactly right.
So there's a statute that says, for creditors' purposes,
right.
Stansbury, here,
right.
Bill, if he, let's say you get judgment for $2 million tomorrow, and that life insurance proceed money just never came down to the estate. Well, the estate doesn't have $2 million. So what he would do, he would then demand, the personal representative demand on the trustee to give the personal representative enough money to pay the claim. That hasn't happened yet because he doesn't have a judge.
What if we find the trust is fraudulent?
If the trust is
a fraud, which is one we're claiming is,
then I imagine without looking at any research,
still
just
part of
guessing,
the estate.
It would all be part of the estate.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I can't make that. I can't make that assumption on an inventory. I can't make that assumption.
No, I get it. No, I'm not saying. I'm trying to figure out how we get to their Brian, but I need to, you know, deal with this. On the other, the insurance policy I saw you dealt in here, the Kia, is that new in here? Was that in the last one?
That was in the last one.
Okay. And then, so it's just those last changes you showed me on the page?
There are changes to the footnote to the extent that we, for instance, on July 16th, we didn't know that JP Morgan had gone ahead and liquidated the IRA. Now we know that they have, so that's new.
But it went into a new account?
Yes.
I thought it wasn't.
It did go into a new account because JP Morgan said they had to.
I thought you said it isn't going.
No, there's orders that permit everything that happened.
That permitted to go into a new account?
It's in a new IRA account at JP Morgan in the name of the estate. The difference is 5007 versus.
I thought you said we were just transferring it from equities to cash.
Right, so that was then the holdup because then JP Morgan said, well, in order to liquidate it, we've got to come in this new account. So then I had to come back in and have the court enter another order saying that could be done.
Are there notes that the beneficiary is missing?
Are there, that there is a beneficiary missing?
Yeah, no, I wrong. Nobody's got the beneficiary document.
Right. Well, no, that wouldn't be in the account. Because as far as I'm concerned, the estate owns the IRA. The estate holds the IRA. Now.
You've seen the historical IRA account?
I know that I have not delved back into the history of the IRA. I got the IRA from. See, what I'm supposed to do is.
Get copies of these, Sabadell, et cetera, whatever else was listed.
The Sabadell checking account?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure we have account statements for that. I know we have account statements for that IRA. The Sabadell checking account is pretty basic.
Shouldn't that come with this?
Usually you don't attach everything to it, because then it would be. Yeah, the clerk's probably not very good. I've seen some of your filings. You're probably not very popular in the first floor.
Well, it just depends on who you talk to.
I don't know what they do. I don't know if they. I don't think they keep the paper files. I don't know if they keep the paper files anymore.
It should be more incentive for them to have us get an attorney from the state. They don't like it.
They. I know everything's e-filed now.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what they do with paper files. I know they have paper files because some people pick them up.
Right. Well, it says you have to print some and bring them in. Certain documents that can't be e-filed.
I don't know. I lost track of that now. I know e-file is a lot easier. It used to be you have to take your hand over and file it.
No, I still got printed, fingerprinted, all those.
Well, you don't have to fingerprint it.
I do.
Yeah. In my case, I do.
Things came back notarized.
Yeah. When there's forged documents. But it started years ago, in this courthouse. Any case where...
There's a case, he's still doing a formal motion.
It's a fascinating case in this court. That's, I don't know, 12, 13 years ago. It was me in LaBarbera's court. And if you go look it up, the FBI came in and removed all the files after they found all the fraud going on in here at the main branch.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Chief Justice.
He's still on.
Well, I mean, you guys have a lot going on next week.
A lot.
You have a lot going on next week in this case.
Might be, yeah. Beginning of the beginning. The end is already come.
I think George is in there.
I don't think anybody has the last one here, but it's the first opening that the language of the trust says goodbye to. And we've been operating like that. I'm pretty surprised Alan's looking at it. And Tesher in his deposition couldn't support it. He fell apart. Trying to address the language to Peter.
Are the petition removed? Ted is being heard next week.
24th. I get argued. They blocked Peter from arguing that, saying he didn't have standing.
No.
Ridiculous. There's nothing to hide. What do you think? That's what I
always say.
It's
something you can't even wave.
Yeah.
You can't even wave standing.
Well, you know, I said to Peter.
You can't wave subject.
I said to Peter, you have to put down the argument that it does. Because you're you're alleging some serious stuff here. I mean, there's serious issues here.
Why is there coffee mug in here?
Mold.
I don't even cough out there, but I cough in here. Is there a drinking water out there?
Okay.
was unable to get her judged. So I guess my only request would be is, you know, I don't know at all the condition of their files. Whatever they have, you know, hard copy, they'll bring, but if it's electronically stored, which could be everything, could be nothing, I don't know, you know, I just ask that you don't require that.
Hard copy of files.
Okay.
Okay, thanks. All right, we'll see you tomorrow.
Okay, thank you, Your Honor.
All right, so can you write that up?
Yes, Judge.
Here, I'll give you the, write that up. Thank you. All right, Bernstein.
First matter, the carrier's petition for approval of denying a discharge. That petition was filed on July 16th, shortly after the July 11th hearing where Mr. O'Connell was appointed, or at least the court indicated that Mr. O'Connell would be appointed personal representative. And you'll note from the accounting that it has a number of footnotes. Many of them are attributable to the fact that the accounting that the curator received from Tesher and Spolina has multiple objections to it. Other footnotes are simply to explain why items are on the accounting. For instance, you'll recall that there was a Kia automobile that had to be dealt with. There are other footnotes that reflect, especially when you start on Schedule D, what has happened with certain of the assets, because, of course, as a curator, we're transitioning to a personal representative. Some of the things remained pending at the time that the personal representative was appointed. So in any event, that was filed on July 16th. I do have proof of service, if Your Honor needs to see it, but I don't think there's any dispute that everybody got that. Nobody objected to that one, but in order to try to make sure that everybody was fully apprised of what has occurred, it took a while to get a hearing date. I did file an amended accounting through August 31st, 2014. Now, 30 days have not elapsed from that one. What it reflects are basically that there's a little bit of, if I could approach Your Honor, I've given this to everybody. This is the difference in dollars now. It reflects that certain of the accounts have, or certain of the assets have been turned over to Mr. O'Connell. It reflects that the IRA that had remained in securities at J.P. Morgan has been converted to cash, and it also reflects that, or updates on some of the items that were outstanding and pending at the time Mr. O'Connell was appointed. I don't believe that there are any objections other than Mr. Elliot Bernstein indicated to me in the hallway that he had an objection to this amended accounting. I don't believe that that should affect the petition to discharge. But in any event, he had things that he wanted to say to the court with respect to this amended account. Thank you.
Good
morning.
Hi.
I was just coming to see this today, but then I just noticed this amended was just changed 2 days ago. And I had contacted Ben's office to get some of the things he was going to provide to me, the J.P. Morgan histories, because now we did actually switch accounts. Which the footnote confused me just now, actually. It was supposed to be switched, but then somehow it switched. Ben can probably explain that better. We're also missing some, I'd like to see the statements that went along with these numbers. Again, I've got no backup to any accounting. So I just asked Ben for that. I called his office last week to try to get some of it a few weeks ago before that to get it. They said they were working on it, J.P. Morgan was sending it, et cetera. So I'd just like to know if it's okay if I prepare an objection to this, if that affects anything with Ben's termination.
It does, because I'm not going to, he has to participate in the objection hearing.
Okay.
Because it's his accounting.
All right, so can I file a timely objection?
Do I have a legal reason why he can't? I mean, he just got the amended accounting 2 days ago.
To the amended accounting, Your Honor, the amending accounting, frankly, is a courtesy.
Right. So here's the only problem. I mean, I'm just looking at this for the first time. There were no objections to the initial accounting. Time has expired. Okay. The amended accounting has de minimis financial changes. The cost of having a hearing on that will exceed dramatically the changes.
I would object to the prior stuff, too, because...
Yeah, but you can't. That's not timely.
Well, they didn't provide me any of the backup.
But that could have been grounds for objections.
Oh.
I mean, they file an accounting
And, you know, if you don't agree, don't have documents, don't do it, you file objections. I mean, that's part of it is I object.
Well, I was working on good faith that they were going to get me these things they said they had and were getting.
Well, they still may get it to you, but...
But then I can't object if it's...
Well, I mean, unless there's a... Something in the math, you know, from a statement doesn't match what's on the accounting. But everything's being pushed over to the estate anyway, true?
That's correct, yeah.
So...
And we're...
The closing of the guardianship, curatorship, the curatorship turns right over to the start of when the PR takes effect.
So we can ask him all those questions?
Yeah, because they're, am I correct that the ending balance on the number would be the starting balance on the PR's accounting?
Yes, as of August 31st.
Do you agree with that?
I would assume so.
Okay. That's what we had, you're kind of the Mr. O'Connell's representative.
Yes, Judge, I'm sorry, I was right.
Well, she's doing that. So that's kind of what happens in these.
Okay.
So we just, you know, the nothing has changed other than instead of Mr. Brown, curator, it's Mr. O'Connell, PR, mm-hmm. but it's the same stream. I mean, you know, the documents and the balances in the accounts the day before will still be there the day after.
Will I be able to get all the accounts history and stuff?
I don't see why you wouldn't. I think you're
okay.
Entitled to copies.
Okay.
So, okay. All right. I'm going to grant the motion.
And I had thought that we had provided all account statements to Mr. Bernstein. We have provided a lot of. I think
right.
You would agree.
Okay. Well,
we've provided a lot.
You have it, send it to him, and if not, you know, you want.
I'm happy to send it.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Judge, we did have the orders from the hearing the other day.
Well, let me first sign.
Okay. Brown still serves as administrator ad litem on the unrelated matter.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah,
that was
the only reason. On anything else other than
right.
Okay.
Just briefly, I know we had a hearing the other day, we had orders. I prepared orders from the excerpt of the transcript that I ordered. And I didn't even really use legal words. I tried to use just almost verbatim the words, Your Honor. I ordered an excerpt and I got an excerpt. I gave the excerpt to Mr. Bernstein.
Where's the order?
The two orders. Mr. Bernstein objected, and he has an email he wanted me to hand you if you'd like, his entire litany of objections. And there's one significance to this order, though, that affects the hearings next week. That's why I...
All right, so let me deal with one at a time.
Okay.
Both of you have. You have his, Mr. Bernstein, proposed order?
Yeah.
Okay, do you have a proposed order? I know he tells me you have objections, but do you have a separate order for me to consider?
No.
Okay, that's usually helpful because I can compare the two and see whether it meets what I rule.
Well, the problem, Your Honor, was he told us he was going to get the transcript and write up the orders from that. Then when I get the order, I ask him for the transcript so I can see if his order reflects what was said. And he refuses and tells me to go buy a copy, which I think he should be reminded his copy was bought by me or my children's money, not his own. So he refuses to provide that to me. It's a continued
You don't
game.
Have the transcript now?
No, he won't give it to me. Then he says he doesn't order it. He only ordered two pages.
Did he have the excerpt?
Did you order just the excerpt?
I ordered just the excerpt. That they, in point of fact, they sent me by mistake the full transcript, and I complained and said I didn't want to pay for the full transcript because I only ordered the excerpt, if you see the email from my legal assistant, and they agreed to give me just an excerpt and only charge me for an excerpt. And I gave Mr. Bernstein the excerpt at no cost
so
with the two orders.
If you have the excerpt...
I don't know if it's in context with what was said. That's why I would need it.
They said that all he ordered was the excerpt they gave him the rest of the
That he likes, the excerpt that he wanted. He went through the whole thing, picked up...
You know,
I haven't seen it. That's the problem.
Have you seen it now, the excerpt?
Oh, I've seen the excerpt, but I haven't seen the grant. I don't know what... He cuts and pastes very cleverly, Your Honor.
Right.
So, okay, you know what? You know what you ordered, so let's see what's right. I disagree with it all.
Well, here's the way this works. You can disagree with the merits of my ruling.
Oh, no, his thing.
You can't disagree, you shouldn't disagree that the order I'm given represents what I rule. So which one is it?
I don't think it's what you ruled at all.
Okay, so let me look.
I think it's reaching. It's got all kinds of language.
Let me take a look. Take it one at a time. Take a look at the case management proposed order. You have that one?
Can. No. Do you have that, Alan?
Here's the copy.
Yeah. I did give you all the time.
Okay. I just read paragraph one. I'm not even reading the transcript right now because I read, you know, I mean, my memory is not that bad, so I remember enough about this that sounds right.
Bombarded part?
Yeah, I used that word. That was my word.
Okay.
I said the clerk is being bombarded. That's true. And then, Mr. Bernstein, you know where I got that from? Clerk.
Okay. Well, I'm being bombarded. You know, there's a lot of fraud and forgery in the estates here.
Okay,
so we're worried about my technical pleadings, and we've got your officers forging documents. I mean, it's crazy.
Okay.
But let's work on my form. I know.
Careful when you start telling the court officers are doing things.
Well, they were,
Mr. Bernstein.
Aren't they officers of the court who
caused this? In a little bit of a different way.
Okay, but those are big violations of felony.
Read it, the order.
Okay.
Remember, I said to you last time, don't always go adrift and hurt yourself. Focus on the task. I read the entire order. It's what I said. I mean, and there's nothing prejudicial to anyone. It's across the board.
Okay.
All right. That's right. I mean, this is a procedural thing, so it's not, you know, try to move this case forward in a way that will get us to the merits. Mr. Bernstein, the thing that sometimes people forget, lawyers, pro se's, listen to me carefully, is that they forget that the intent here isn't just to participate in the battle, it's to win the war. Okay, so we've got to get to the point where I can start making adjudicatory rulings. All right, there's a lot of time being spent on the fight, which is the battle, but let's try to get, you know, our system allows us to get past that and get to a hearing where I can start making adjudications. Okay.
So next week it starts, I think.
Okay. Good. I mean, you know, that's what I'm here for. I'm
okay.
Here to make rulings as opposed to being a policeman. Okay. And the other order is exactly what I wrote.
Which one?
The order prohibiting new filings and staying the existing matter until I...
Can I see that one?
Oh, yeah, sure. I'd love to use that.
Do you want this one back?
I'll stamp that one, yeah.
Okay.
The hearings for next week are still going.
Well, I'd like to address that briefly.
All right, go ahead.
I think by signing the order you just entered, the claims that are filed against me personally are now stayed.
Okay.
So there are no, I mean, that's the intent of this order, so that there are no claims.
Well, what you do is tell me, because I don't, I mean, I'll like to look it up. What is set for next week? What is set? I think there was a removal action. Am I right on that?
Oops. There's a petition to remove Ted Bernstein as successor trustee.
All right. That's been set for a while. That's
I agree. Okay. I have the concern is, though, and I this is a very serious thing, and this is basically been the goal of, I think, what we're having here. But if there are claims pending against me that if you do not stay or strike, then I'm going to have a problem that I'm not going to be able to proceed forward representing Mr. Bernstein.
Say it again.
Okay. The goal of Elliot Bernstein has been to disqualify.
No, don't.
Okay.
Don't
well, he you, served
you,
me
you,
with.
You're his lawyer. You're his lawyer. Right. Close out and set for next week is Elliot's petition to remove Ted as successor trustee.
Correct.
All right. Did I state that accurately?
Correct.
Okay. All right. So you're going to represent Ted at that hearing.
But you've stayed, there were claims pending against me. I'm saying you've now stayed those, I believe. Okay.
Okay.
Right. So at some point, at some point, and as early as possible, much like when there's a motion to disqualify a judge, you take it at the earliest possible time. We would like you to entertain a motion to strike the claims that are against me,
okay,
because
right, so here's what I'll
I'd like to do those at the same
right, okay,
hearing.
So like I said in the order, if there's something that you folks want to have heard, okay, you will let me know what those are, and then I'll schedule them for hearing. Okay, but for right now, for today, for next week, get my calendar up. Let's see if what I have. What's the date you folks think?
24th.
Okay, we have an afternoon of one matter, Elliot's petition to remove Ted.
Right. There were other matters that you asked us to bring with us
right.
at a status conference.
We have time for a status conference, but the primary thing is
correct.
That petition. Okay, so go ahead.
Would you entertain a motion at the start of that to strike the claims against me?
Well, I may afterwards.
Okay.
Bring that on. You know, if there are things that you want for scheduling, because that's the intent of my order, it's not to stop you from going forward, it's just to kind of case manage this a little bit. So, you know, I'll hear all appropriate things, and then either side will say, Judge, I would like to have this heard. If I think it's proper to hear, I'll give you time right here in court, because now I have my calendar right there. That's it's easy.
I'm not going to have time to prepare for anything he's
talking about. Well, no. There's nothing on the merits happening. If you want something, if you have something else in the pipeline, you're going to want a hearing on, you can, at the end of that day, you'll ask me, and he'll ask me, and then I'll schedule. And then
beautiful.
I'll schedule it down the road.
But just so I'm clear for the record, the claims cannot proceed against me unless you give him permission to file.
Right.
Okay,
right.
So I'm...
All those, but right,
okay.
Exactly.
Wait,
all
what right. is it? Wait, what does that mean?
It's stayed.
Okay, but he's still a defendant. It's his lawsuit.
State means what it's state.
But the claims aren't going to be allowed to proceed forward unless you give him permission to file to open them. So therefore, there's technically...
Mr. Rose,
yeah.
You know what a stay is.
No, I do not. I may have a problem. But you cannot be a defendant in a lawsuit.
Right.
And represent parties in the lawsuit.
Well,
Mr. Burns.
Well,
I get counsel.
So you can defend
okay, thank you. That's all I wanted to clarify.
Wait, you're going to allow him to? Even though he's not allowed to?
He can defend on the removal action.
No.
I'm not stopping him from doing that.
Well, but are rules stopping him from doing it? Because we're playing by the rules.
I don't know if a rule does or not, but for right now, no one's brought that to my attention to disqualify him. I think there was prior things to disqualify him, and I ruled on it. I mean, I'm pretty sure I did. Because if I get a motion to disqualify, I rule on that right away. All I can do is rule on what comes in. The difference is, I don't want you folks filing stuff. I want you telling me, for example, Judge, you can prepare your matter. Things already filed are filed. New matters, you prepare. You come in, you say, Judge, I have this matter. You show it to me. If I think it's in a legally proper form, I'll allow it to be filed, and I'll give you a hearing on it.
Okay, so before you just said that things filed before. I filed a counter complaint and served them, so he's a defendant. Okay, so as long as that's clear.
It's not dismissed.
Okay,
it's
cool.
It's just not acted on.
Okay, I don't care.
I think we're all on the same page.
Yeah,
so
okay.
Let me just do this a little bit. Let's see. Okay, so I'm going to case manage a little bit of what's going on next week. So, have you tried a removal action before?
I have.
Okay, you have.
I have.
Okay, all right. So, your wife is looking to you.
But he was a respondent in his estate and whatever matters since the beginning that he got involved with, you know, my brother, and I filed a petition.
All right, so here's what I'm getting at. So remember that when we start this hearing, okay, it's like, it's a new day, okay? So I'm going to let you make an opening statement, brief. He gets a chance to make an opening statement, brief, and then I call witnesses. Okay, those witnesses are people who are here outside, will probably invoke the rule. You can testify, your wife, you can call it. And when the witnesses are there, it's what? Direct, cross, redirect, done. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
There's no further, this is all evidence. If you want a document introduced into evidence, you can do it by stipulation or you do it through the witness stand. But what I'm getting at is, we're going to comply with the rules of procedure on how to try cases. All right. So, I can give a little leeway on some things. If you're pro se, you don't know a technical rule. But basically, you know, you have to be able to prove the case. Then, once I hear all the evidence is closed, I'll give you a chance to make a closing argument. You give me whatever case law you want me to consider, if any, and then I'll see if I can either rule on the spot. If I can, I will. If not, I reserve ruling and I enter an order.
Okay, so to be clear, I'm not going for his removal. He's a defendant in two counter complaints, and I think he's asking you if he can represent Ted.
No, none of that deal with him. This is your removal of Ted's action.
That's right, no, I thought we're still
no,
on.
No, we're done with that. No, I'm talking about
the
removal, yeah. You're first.
Okay, good.
Okay, because it's your petition. Okay, all right.
Do I have leave to file a motion to strike the claims against this? Do I need a permission to do that?
No, I want
to
see it. You have to prepare it.
Right.
I don't want anything getting filed until either side prepares the matter, and then, you know, you're before me plenty of time, or you can come before me on a UMC solely for the purpose of me reviewing the document. Once I review the document, if we get to a point where I can tell you, and I feel confident that everyone's kind of doing things the way I think they should be done, I'll lift this requirement and let you file things in the ordinary course. But for right now, if you file something, I need to see it first.
Oh, I asked you on a fact. I don't know if you've seen it, if I could amend it.
The problem was you sent me an ex parte fact letter.
Well, I didn't understand if I was supposed to CC everybody because you're...
You can't ever. If the office sees something coming into me, they told me you sent the fax, and if it's not sent to the other side,
So I can send it to the other side.
You have to send. If you send something to me,
yes.
You have to write a letter. It's a letter. That's not a pleading.
Right. I wrote you a letter.
Okay. Then you have to send it to them because I can't even look at it. You send a birthday greeting. I can't look at it unless you send it to Mr. Rose first.
Okay. So
I don't even know what it says.
So I'll resend it and send it. Yeah, I got your approval to send it to the other parties.
Well, it's not my approval. The law says you can't send something to me without sending it to them. That you copy furnished to Mr. Rhodes.
You understand I was confused by your order from last time.
I don't know. Okay, whatever it is, I don't know if it's a letter. Again.
No, I meant you told us to send everything to you for approval first.
Yeah, but you can't. Okay, so
that's what
you're getting at.
Yeah.
You're not going to mail it to me or fax it to me. You're going to bring it in open court. If you prepare a document,
right.
A pleading, you prepare it, you give it to the other side, nothing gets filed.
Okay.
Then you come in. Both sides have a chance to look at it. The person who prepares it sees it. The other person sees it as well. And then you ask me to review it. I'll review it and determine if it can get filed.
Got it. Thank you.
I have one other thing.
Okay.
One general matter is our first, fourth, and fifth petition, which go through.
Okay. Is there an object to these? And then he's done. This is it for you?
This is it. Those go through the end of July. We're not
seeking fees for August and September. Those were transitional fees and today.
No objection for Mr. O'Connell, Judge.
No objection, Mr. O'Connell.
We don't have objections to the amount of time to spend other than, I mean, he did the work, he should get paid. We have our prior objection that we think it was caused by other.
Okay, well, that's different.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
Okay, no objection. I'll reserve for later on. Any objection? No, fine, let me see the work. Gosh, you guys are actually doing things well. This is the next
that's,
one?
That's, yeah, that's the first one.
From that September 15th hearing that he was going to write up orders, I thought you denied the contempt motion. According to what I recall, he said denied.
I owe you one more order, which I haven't had a chance to do yet. It's going to say that the contempt is denied, but you're going to reconsider whether to strike certain portions of this violation.
All right, so you're going to prepare that order, send it over to Mr. Bernstein.
I've seen it. And again, you know, he ordered this deposition. He told us he was going to give us a copy.
Transcript.
That's absolutely not a truthful statement.
I mean, it is.
I'm not arguing with you, but it's not.
All right. Okay. So, are you doing the order that you're speaking about now from memory, or from notes, or from a transcript?
I think it's the same transcript. I think it's the same excerpt.
Okay. So, whatever excerpt you're relying on, send that with your proposed order.
There's a production withdrawal that he withdrew his request for production.
I didn't withdraw my request for production. I said we wouldn't have the motion to compel her that day.
Okay.
It was too withdrawal. It was going to take too long.
And the service of the amended or my counter complaint, I have time limits and stuff to serve that.
But if I stay, it's the time limits are shifted.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. Okay.
Cool.
Yeah, it might be unfair to stay and then.
Good. Okay.
That's what that means. All legal requirements are shifted. All right.
Right.
apologies are please.
That's right.